Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Happy holidays. This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor, with another episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Hardwood Handicappers is sponsored by Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball takes into cash. Download the Better app and use code VSINPOD to get $10 free. No deposit needed. That's VSINPOD, V-S-I-N-P-O-D. We have a link for that in the description. We're going to spend today talking about all of the Christmas Day NBA games. I hope that everybody is excited for Christmas. I, of course, with the last name Cohen, I am Jewish, but I do celebrate Christmas. My wife's family absolutely loves it, so we're celebrating. We're going to be watching Christmas Vacation, probably like the third or fourth best of the vacation movies. You know, maybe tweet at me if you have different thoughts on that, but not the best one, but still one that you got to watch on this holiday. And I'm excited for Christmas. I always love watching the NBA games, and I definitely get a kick out of these NFL games being absolutely terrible, because I think it's annoying that the NFL is kind of approaching on our territory, but they come to this week with, you know, nothing but backup quarterbacks, nothing but awful, awful games and big spreads. So I'm hoping that everybody's watching basketball. And I know that many consider this to be the official start of the NBA season. I obviously don't feel that way, but I do like that we are going to have more eyeballs on the product and hopefully more, you know, ears on this podcast. And hopefully everybody's heading over to VSiN.com to kind of check out the sides and totals that I'm putting up every day, the player props I'm putting up every day. And then I'm going to be putting up an individual game preview for every single one of these Christmas Day games. So I don't want to do too much on what we've seen over the rest of the week. I want to focus specifically on these five games, and maybe I'll hit some of the stuff we saw a little bit earlier in the week when I'm doing those ones. But we'll start with the Cavaliers at the Knicks. This is a game that in New York is going to be laying 6.5 points, totals 239.5. I'm reading you DraftKings odds as of 1:30 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, December 24th. So this stuff might change, but hopefully it doesn't change too much. I don't think that there's too much injury news that we're waiting on that can actually move these lines too much. But yeah, Knicks -6.5, totals 239.5. And this is a game that I'd actually be leaning Cleveland. I know that I've been kind of picking on Cleveland lately. I've been hating on what I've seen out of this team, but it does look like they're starting to play a little bit better. I mean, they should have covered against the Hornets 2 games ago. They absolutely beat up on the Pelicans last game. And over the last 2 games, they have an offensive rating of 134. They've made 22 three-pointers per game, and they're shooting 46.5% from deep. I think that getting Sam Merrill back has just been absolutely huge for this team. Obviously, that is not one of the superstars of this team. This is a team with a core four that everybody knows of: Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen. But, you know, some of the role players are very important, and Merrill is a guy that you absolutely can't leave open under any circumstances. So I think that having him back out there changes the way that teams have to guard Garland and Mitchell. And I do think that that duo is playing a little bit better. Garland, especially, you know, 2 games ago, he was excellent, a little bit shakier against the Pelicans, but they didn't really need him to do much. They were just absolutely killing them pretty much right from the jump. So I think that we're seeing some better play out of Garland. And this is a team that New York that, obviously, I think that they're the favorites to win the Eastern Conference right now. I've talked glowingly about this team all year, and I think that what we saw in the NBA Cup, where they kind of ratcheted up the defense a little bit, did a really good job of defending the three-point line kind of late in that game against the Spurs, it was very impressive, and it definitely shows you a lot about what this New York team is going to be in the playoffs. But I wonder if we're going to see the same intensity from them in, you know, a Christmas Day regular season game, which is still a regular season game, as opposed to a cup game, which, you know, there were some stakes at play. They wanted to win that championship. They wanted to get a trophy. And I do just kind of wonder if what we've seen from the Knicks this year, which is a team that can occasionally struggle to guard the three-point line, is going to seep back in with this being a game that matters, you know, not as much as what we saw in Vegas. So that would be a little bit concerning against this specific Cavaliers team, because with no Evan Mobley, which hurts them defensively, they're just going to lean into absolutely bombing away from three. And I just think that there's a chance that if the Cavaliers get hot, you're going to want to have the points. I would suggest going to 7.5, though, which is available at -127 at DraftKings as of this recording. I do think there's also a chance that this spread moves to 7 or 7.5, just because looking at our VSiN betting splits available to VSiN Pro subscribers, it just looks like it's one-way traffic when looking at the public and sharp betting. I think that it looks like everybody wants a piece of New York. Everybody wants to fade Cleveland. So I wouldn't be surprised if this moves a little bit closer to what I am looking for, which is 7 or 7.5 with the Cavaliers, but strong, strong lean to Cleveland and probably a play that I will end up making. So I don't have it officially right now. make sure you check VSiN.com. Check out the VSiN Pro Picks page tomorrow morning or tomorrow right before tip. I will probably add something for this game. But as of right now, my only best bet for this game is actually Jalen Brunson over 28.5 points at minus 118. I know that might be a little bit weird if I do like the Cavaliers, but I think this is going to be a high scoring game. I think the pace of play is going to be up. I think both teams are going to find success on the offensive end of the floor. And with Brunson, this is a guy that scored 30 plus points in 5 of the last 8 games. If this is a track meet, I just really like his ability to kind of score in the paint, score in the mid-range area against the Cleveland team that has some smaller guards. Like if they stick Darius Garland or Donovan Mitchell on him, it's going to be, you know, barbecue chicken for Brunson. I think there's a real chance that he absolutely lights them up. And I do think that this Cleveland team, well, I think that they've been a little bit better offensively lately. Over the course of the entire season, they've struggled with putting some opponents on the free throw line. And Brunson obviously is one of the best foul baiters in the entire NBA. I could see him living at the line in this one. So even if this is a game where Deuce McBride comes back, which it looks like he might, I think this is going to be a game where Brunson goes off. And I should add that like a national TV game, this is when Brunson is kind of leaned on heavily by this Knicks team. So I think there's a real chance that he has a really crazy shot volume. I think he's going to be trusted or can be trusted to knock down, you know, a couple threes. And I think he's going to do a lot of work going to the basket and scoring, you know, in isolation. So I think over 28.5 points is a good way to play this game. The next game, which I think is probably the game of the day or the game of the early evening. I don't know what you want to call it, but starts at 2:30 p.m. Eastern. So it will go into the early evening. OKC laying 8.5 points against San Antonio. Total is 235.5. And obviously the big talking point right now is that the Spurs have won 2 straight games against this Thunder team, with one of them being, you know, the semifinals of the NBA Cup and then a 20-point win in San Antonio on, you know, a Tuesday night in a game where, you know, the Thunder had almost their entire rotation, if not the entire rotation, playing, treating that game like a big one. I think that, you know, the narrative here, that at least that I've seen, is that OKC has struggled with their starting lineup because I believe they're like 0-3 or 1-3 when they've had their entire starting five out there. That's not the case for me. I think that the bigger concern for me with the Thunder, and it's something that I've said all season long, is that when this team plays a playoff-like game against a physical team that could kind of match their physicality, try to play, you know, toeing the line like OKC does of, you know, going for steals and being willing to foul, and maybe the refs don't call it when it's a, you know, a tighter, more physical, defensive-minded game, they kind of, you know, don't feel like the aggressor in a game like that. So the Spurs kind of meet the Thunder where they usually, you know, play other teams, which is, you know, playing intense, playing defense, really focusing on trying to make plays on the defensive end of the floor. And I just think that, you know, when teams kind of match that physicality, you lose what makes OKC special and you kind of get into a dogfight. And maybe the Thunder win that dogfight, you know, 7 times out of 10 or 6 times out of 10, but it's not the 8 or 9 times out of 10 that you see against normal regular season teams. When they play teams that are as good as them or, you know, close, it becomes a little bit shakier. And I think that we saw that all throughout the playoffs last year. I think that we're now seeing it now. I mean, this is a team that went into Minnesota last weekend and lost a very, you know, playoff-like game against the Timberwolves. I just think that when teams kind of ratchet it up and meet their energy level, they can contend with them. And I think this Spurs team especially causes some problems because for as good as OKC's perimeter defenders are, and they are great, like this is a team that has like 5 or 6 players that are probably top 10 in the league when you're ranking Defensive Player of the Year candidates this year. I just don't think you could trust those guys to consistently stay in front of De'Aaron Fox, Stephon Castle, and Dylan Harper. Those guys can get to the paint whenever they want. And one of my concerns about San Antonio heading into the season was the three-point shooting. I talked about this today with Dave and Jensen on By the Books. But this team is shooting the three really, really well and getting it from players that absolutely needed to shoot the three well. I mean, De'Aaron Fox is shooting 38.3% from deep this year. Devin Vassell, 39.7. Keldon Johnson, 39. Harrison Barnes, 40. Julian Champagne, 36.4. I had doubts about these types of guys, you know, spacing the floor adequately for a team that has, you know, a great isolation scorer in Wemby, a great pick and roll and pick and pop player in Wemby, and then all of these kind of guards that just live at the basket. I didn't know that they'd be able to create the space that those guys need. They absolutely have and more. So I think this is the reason I was so off on the Spurs. And, you know, kind of looking, you know, at a recent sample size, this Spurs team is 14-4 in the last 18 games, 5th in the league in points per 100 possessions in that time. They have been elite defensively over the course of this stretch, and they haven't played much of this stretch with Victor Wembanyama, who, when he is on the floor, they become one of the best defensive teams in the league. They are in the 97th percentile in points allowed per 100 possessions when Wemby is on the court. 103.9 points per 100 allowed, to be exact. So now that you're adding Wemby to the mix, a player that fits in seamlessly on offense, you're seeing a team that's now very good on defense too. So when Wemby's playing 25 plus with this team being healthy around him, they are very much, you know, elite or borderline elite. And I've mentioned them as being a step below, you know, the top tier in the Western Conference of OKC, Denver, and Houston. They might be right there, you know, with Houston and Denver, at least, if you want to put OKC a little bit above. They're probably in that top tier now. So I think this Spurs team should not be getting, you know, 7.5 to 10 points when facing the Thunder. And you're seeing them getting 9.5 here. Maybe this is a revenge spot and OKC comes out hungry and absolutely stomps them. I don't see it happening just because I do think that the matchup is really tough. So I would take the Spurs plus 9.5 in this game. I know that was a long-winded way of saying it, but I wanted to break down what I see in this matchup and why I think San Antonio might be OKC's kryptonite, if that's the way you want to put it. I know Dave and Jensen asked me that a little bit earlier today, but I do think that this Spurs team has some real problems to present for the Thunder. I don't think that these last two games were fluky. And I do think that this Spurs team is just becoming legit much faster than everybody thought. And I think we're going to see that again in this Christmas Day game. Want to bet smarter this holiday season? VSiN has the perfect gift for you or the sports bettor in your life. Right now, you could take advantage of our holiday special and get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. That gives you everything we do, including daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and weekly wide receiver cornerback matchup edges, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, complete coverage of every major sport through the spring, from football and hoops to March Madness, the NFL Draft, and the Masters. Plus, you'll get all of our postseason betting guides and expert picks, including for the college football playoffs and the Super Bowl. Don't miss this limited-time holiday special. Head to vsin.com/subscribe and unwrap your betting edge today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. As I mentioned, I always add picks over to vsin.com on the Pro Picks page. So there might be stuff that you're not hearing on this podcast that I'm adding to the website. And if you're hearing my record on the year, which has been quite strong, hopefully I'm not jinxing it, but if you're hearing it and I've been winning, some of the plays are ones you're not getting here. So I would strongly suggest, if you like my work, if you like my NBA handicapping, heading over there. And also if you like tennis handicapping, because the tennis Australian Open is right around the corner and I do an absolute ton of tennis over the course of the year for VSiN. So never really sleeping much, just always kind of working, but I absolutely love it. So if you're a tennis fan, it's another reason to become a VSiN pro. And if you like every sport, we have everything covered, not just me, my talented colleagues as well. Third game of the day for Christmas Day, we have the Warriors hosting the Mavericks at 5 p.m. Eastern. This is a game where Golden State is laying 8.5 points. Total is 228.5. And while I do think it's a little bit weird to be watching this game compared to the other ones, because I do think it's a little strange that these teams are both, you know, kind of towards the bottom of the play-in picture in the Western Conference, I think it's going to end up being actually one of the better games and kind of steal the show. And that's because I do think Dallas is going to be more competitive than I think that people believe. So I think the Mavericks plus 8.5 at minus 115 is an interesting look in this game. And I'll just mention that for as bad as Dallas's overall record might look on the season, they are 8-5 against the spread over the last 13 games, 6-4 straight up over the last 10. And ever since they put Ryan Nemhard into this rotation and just added a little bit of juice in terms of playmaking, Cooper Flagg has taken his game to another level. And, you know, ever since Anthony Davis got back, they've also, you know, flashed a little bit of a nice two-man game between Flagg and Davis. And just overall, this team has looked much better offensively. Over the last 10 games, they are a top 10 team in the league when it comes to raw offensive rating, 117.1. And over the course of the entire season, this team is ninth in the league in defensive rating, so 112.9. This is a team that has now shown in spurts that they can play both ends of the floor rather well. And I mentioned Flagg before, but in the month of December, 24.1 points per game, 6.2 rebounds per game, 4.5 assists per game. Also coming off arguably his best game as a pro, going for 32-9-9 in a win over Denver on Tuesday night. He is just really coming into his own. I've been kind of praising him the last couple of weeks and saying that I believe he's the rookie of the year. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that on Friday because I do think it's an interesting race. But even if he is not the rookie of the year, he is playing like a borderline all-star, if not an all-star right now. So over the last 2-3 weeks, the performance level you're getting from him you have two players on this Mavericks team in Flag and AD that are performing like all-stars. And I do think it's a well-coached team under Jason Kidd. So if this is a game where you're seeing, a pretty clean injury report, I'd be surprised if it's not close, especially with this having, I believe, the lowest total on the board. Yep, this game has the lowest total of all the Christmas Day games. It should be a little bit grittier than some of the other ones. In a low-scoring game, getting 8.5 points is very valuable. There's usually a correlation between covering and games going under. So I think grabbing 8.5 is a really good value with Dallas. And I'll also add, I like Najee Marshall to go over 13.5 points at plus 100. He has gone over this number in 9 consecutive games. He's also hit at least 14 points in 11 of the last 12. And I do think that this matchup is conducive to Marshall having a pretty good game offensively, because he scores a pretty big chunk of his points in the short mid-range area of the court, floater territory. And that number, to be exact, is 30% of his points come in that floater territory. And this Golden State team, for as good as they can be defensively, they're actually bottom 5 in the league at defending that area of the court. And that's because of the scheme. It does actually, they try to prevent teams from shooting threes. They try to prevent teams from scoring at the rim. And that sometimes opens up a short mid-range shot. Marshall will gladly take that. And I do think that when you add in what he could do in transition, he's a good finisher, a good athlete. And then you also add in the fact that he can knock down a three or two in this game. I think it's very realistic to expect him to score 14 plus in this one, even if this does end up going under the total. Next game is Rockets at Lakers. Rockets laying 2.5, totals 230.5. And this is honestly a game that I really just think comes down to whether or not Luka Doncic plays. I'm not sure we're going to see him out there. Luka, suffered a lower leg injury earlier in the week. Actually, maybe a little bit earlier than that. Like I say, these days kind of blur together for me. I do have a newborn in the house. I also do the podcast every day. You have to bear with me sometimes. My brain could be mush. But I do think that, there's a chance that we don't see Luka here. And if Luka doesn't play, I would expect Houston to handle business, because this Rockets team is, number 5 in the league in adjusted defensive rating. And, they would be able to kind of focus on stopping Austin Reeves and LeBron James, making things way easier when it comes to defending Los Angeles. And then on the other end of the floor, Houston's number 3 in the league in adjusted offensive rating. They'd be going against the Lakers team that is actually 28th in the NBA in raw defensive rating over the last 10 games. This Lakers team has been absolutely terrible when it comes to getting stops. So I think that, Houston would be able to score pretty much at will. And with no Luka, it'd be very hard for Los Angeles to keep up. But if you do get Luka out there, there actually are some trends that are actually favorable for Los Angeles. Some of the ones that I do like for LA, the Rockets are 0-8 straight up and 1-7 against the spread when playing their 4th road game in 7 days under Ime Udoka. So this is a team that can struggle on longer road trips. And we have seen that over the last couple of days. I mean, this team's effort against the Kings and then the Clippers, it was like borderline unacceptable for a team that is in the championship picture. I wonder if maybe they just want to get home. And for Los Angeles, they are getting back home, and that has been big for them under JJ Redick. They are 13-6 straight up and 15-4 against the spread when coming off 3 consecutive road games and heading back home. So they're in a situation that I think the Rockets want to be in. And also, LA is 15-6 straight up and 17-4 against the spread when facing teams with winning percentages of 60% to 70% under JJ Redick. So they've been a good team when playing in these, marquee games, high-profile games against good competition. So that is definitely something to keep an eye on if Luka is out there. I just kind of wonder if maybe the Lakers just find it in them to play a little bit better defensively and just like look a little bit unstoppable on the offensive end. But I am staying away until we get the Luka news. So this is another one that I would implore you to head over to VSiN.com before tip-off, see if I add anything. But I do have a play in this game right now, and that's Reed Shepherd to go over 12.5 points at minus 103. Shepherd has been one of my guys this season. If you've been listening to Hardwood Handicappers, I've been taking his point totals a lot this season. But this just feels like a golden matchup for him, too. I mean, this Lakers team is 23rd in the league defending above the break threes. Shepherd scores 50% of his points in that area of the floor. He's an absolute gunner from three-point range. He's, a marksman from three-point range. And I just think there's going to be some really good opportunities for him to knock down some spot-up shots, some shots off the dribble, just everything. And then I also think if they overplay him, he's going to be able to get to the rim and finish a little bit at the basket. I mean, this Lakers team is just so unorganized defensively right now that it's hard not to like a player with Shepherd's firepower with a total this low against this bad of a defense. So the only play I have right now in Rockets Lakers is Shepherd over 12.5 points, but I anticipate adding something at some point. Final game of the night. It ends with Timberwolves Nuggets, 10:30 p.m. Eastern tip. Obviously, this is a rematch of a great playoff series we saw 2 years ago where Minnesota knocked Denver out in what kind of felt like the arrival of this Anthony Edwards-led Timberwolves team. And I do think that there is some bad blood between these two teams. And I also think that Minnesota, just historically has done the best job of covering Nikola Jokic of any team in the league. So that's something to keep an eye on. And it's definitely something to keep in mind when you are looking at the spread here. And I do think I have a lean on the Timberwolves +3.5 in this game. And I wouldn't hate a money line play of +140. I am going to stay away though. I just don't know that I want to bet against Denver at Ball Arena. Like, it is just such a tough place to win. And I do think that while this Nuggets team is missing Christian Brown and Aaron Gordon, what they have been able to do offensively without those two has still been really impressive. This has been the number one offensive team in the entire NBA, and the Timberwolves, for as good as they've been, you know, over the last like 3 weeks now, they don't beat a lot of good teams. I know they beat OKC in what was a high profile game in Minnesota the other week, but I don't know that I trust this team on a nightly basis. I think that that would be different come the postseason where like, you know, everybody's locked in every night, but I just don't know that I trust the Timberwolves in this specific spot. So it's a lean on the Timberwolves for me, but not a play I'm making. But the play I am making is Dante DiVincenzo over 3.5 assists at -102. Over the last 12 games, DiVincenzo has just been great as a playmaker, averaging 11.2 potential assists per game, 5.8 adjusted assists per game in that span. He has had 4+ assists in 10 of those games. Also, this Nuggets team over the last 10 contests, when I mentioned, you know, they're missing Christian Brown and Aaron Gordon, two of their best defensive players in a rotation that really doesn't have a lot of defensive players, the Nuggets are 22nd in the league in defensive rating in that stretch. So I think there's going to be opportunities for DiVincenzo to make plays. And that's kind of his role right now with Edwards, you know, coming back into the lineup from injury. I think that DiVincenzo is being relied on to do some more playmaking because this team doesn't have a traditional point guard right now. They're playing Anthony Edwards at the point guard spot. They're relying on DiVincenzo a little bit more to set guys up. And, you know, then they bring Bones Highland off the bench, and Highland has been great in his minutes, you know, this year, and, you know, has maybe given this team some pause when it comes to going out at the trade deadline and making an acquisition at the point guard spot. But I do think that, you know, on a nightly basis, every single night now, you could expect some more playmaking or at least attempts at that from DiVincenzo. And I think this is a really low total. So I think going over 3.5 assists and potentially laddering this to 5 or 6 might be worth a shot. So head over to vsin.com. I will have a little bit more on that, you know, with the exact way that I'm playing that, because I am going to ladder it a little bit. Time to put your hoops IQ to the test with Better Picks. Download the Better app and pick more or less on player stats like points, assists, and rebounds, and track your lineup in real time. Use code VSINPOD to get $10 free, no deposit needed, and with up to 1,000x multipliers off just 2 picks, your hot takes can really pay off. Better Picks is live in 33 states. Download the Better app and use code VSINPOD today. That's Better, B-E-T-R, and VSINPOD, V-S-I-N-P-O-D. We're going to recap the best bets I have now for Thursday. I mean, this is going to be a really fun day of action for NBA fans and hopefully just fans everywhere. Like I said, the 3 football games could not possibly be worse. It's like they were trying to make the worst slate possible. I know that they do this in advance. They didn't know that these teams would be in those situations with their quarterbacks and, you know, with the playoff standings. But man, those are 3 games that I don't want to watch for a single second. And I want to watch all 5 of these NBA games. Hopefully you want to do the same. But recapping the best bets that I actually have right now, and like I said, I will add some more at VSiN.com as we get some more certainty. Jalen Brunson over 28.5 points at -118 against the Cavaliers. Spurs +9.5 at -114 versus the Thunder. I have the Mavericks +8.5 at -115 versus the Warriors. I have Najee Marshall in that same game over 13.5 points at -114. I have Reed Sheppard over 12.5 points at -103 versus the Lakers. And I have Dante DiVincenzo over 3.5 assists at -102 against the Nuggets. It's those 6 plays for me. I might add a little bit more. I might add some parlays if you're interested in that with some alternate spreads. I always like to do that type of stuff to give myself a little bit more cushion. But yeah, that's all for this 5-game slate on Christmas Day. We will be back with the Friday episode where we have some more games to look at. I believe there's 9 games on Friday and it will be a pretty fun slate. So hopefully you join me then, but I hope that all of you have a happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everybody that's celebrating. And thank you for, you know, listening to Hardwood Handicappers. Hopefully you continue and hopefully we win big on Christmas Day.